Let me ask you if you would to turn in your Bibles this evening to Proverbs 22, 22nd chapter in the book of Proverbs. And I had mentioned, I think this was last week, although sometimes things kind of blur together, but I think it was last week, that oftentimes people will ask, inquire about me doing a preaching series on the subject of parenting. And if that is something that you are burdened about, let me just say that I did an extended series. I think it was maybe 18, 20 messages back in late 2012, early 2013 on God's wisdom for the family. And that was about 50-50, divided amongst things related to marriage and related to parenting, maybe a little bit on childrening as well, okay, but just some of those principles from the Word of God. So those messages are online and they are available. Last summer I did a Wednesday evening study in a classroom on that. Brother Josh Sanford did a study on that in Sunday school recently, so it is an important subject, and it's something that certainly is needful for us as God's people to look at periodically. So what I want to do here this evening is just, rather than entering into a protracted study on the subject, well, it'll be, I guess, maybe really protracted, in that what I think I'm going to do is just a message or two now and again, and just kind of, spread those out a little bit, come back to different elements on this matter of what the Bible has to say about the rearing of children, about the training of our children, about being a godly parent, about inspiring our children to walk with God, those different kinds of things. So we're going to do that this evening here. Probably again, Pastor Mike, I think, is preaching next Sunday evening, right? Deacon's meeting. So there's some time here, these next couple sessions, and then we'll head down a different direction and come back to this from time to time. And so what I want us to do tonight is begin by looking at a familiar text. Probably, when I think about parenting, there are two verses of Scripture that immediately leap into my mind. One of them is in the New Testament. In Ephesians 6, ye parents, or ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that's kind of a defining passage on the subject of parenting. And tonight I've asked you to turn to the book of Proverbs for what is probably the other most familiar verse that most of us think about. Now the Proverbs are full of passages, of Proverbs, of statements that are very instructive for us about the matter of parenting. But this one's maybe among the more central of them, the more broadly applicable one of them. And let me just, by way of background, remind us about this book of Proverbs. There are a few sections that are somewhat narrative in style, but the bulk of the book is just comprised of these short, insightful statements that don't have a lot of context, but they convey their truth in just a single verse. And that's the nature of a proverb. It's just a principle stated in concise terms. Someone has said that a proverb is wise in content and concise in form. It's just this little pithy statement. In other words, it's brief. It's to the point, but chock full of meaning, all for the purpose of instructing us. And because it's concise, the Proverbs tend to be memorable, some of them. There's lots of them, so we don't remember them all. But certain ones, when they kind of grip your heart, they're just things that you come back to, that you think about often. They're memorable by their intention. That's what God wants us to do. And so our text tonight, if you haven't figured it out already, is Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And this is a verse that probably most of us know by heart. If you do, you can say it with me or maybe read it with me, but let's take a look. Proverbs 22:6, say it with me. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay? Now, we've got a teen activity tonight, so I will try to be briefer than usual. Some of you are saying, that'll be the day, but that's my goal. And so what we're going to do is not stray too far from just this one verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the particular emphasis God's put on my heart for tonight as we begin this intermittent study, if you will, about our role as Christian parents is the matter of our purpose in parenting, our purpose in parenting. That's the heart of the message. That's the title of this message as well. And let me just say this. You know, as I look out here, there are many of you who are parents. You know, some of you with younger children, some of you with older children. Some of you, your children are all grown and out of the home. There are grandparents here. There are some single parents. There are some who maybe aren't married or don't have children yet, or in God's providence don't have children. But I want to suggest this to you, that really a vision for parenting is likewise a vision for discipleship. Because that's really the essence of what parenting is, right? Is it's discipling our children in a walk with God. And you know, yes, there's that maybe biological connection or that legal connection or whatever, and there's an extra specialness, if you will, that we have in the relationship with our own children. But ultimately, it really is about discipling them. And so there are things, as we study the different aspects of parenting, that are relevant to those who may not have children in the home anymore, you know. You may be entered into that exciting phase of grandparenting, and I am all over that, okay? But, you know, whatever it might be, still, we're talking about discipleship and the principles of the Word of God that relate to how we train our children and instruct our children and disciple our children are also true for just how we disciple one another, how we help new believers, how we just try to help one another to grow. So I hope if you're not currently with children in your home, you're not saying, well, parenting, I don't need that anymore. You know, no, I think we all can use this instruction from the Word of God. It's relevant for all of us. So before we begin here, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump in. Father, we are thankful for each one here to whom you have entrusted with the responsibility of training the next generation to know you, to love you, to serve you. Lord, it's a blessing. Children are an heritage from you. Fruit of the womb, your word says, is your reward. And it's not a reward that we earn it, but it is a blessing, a gift, a reward put upon us so that we can be used by you to take our children and their children after them and seek to turn them to you. And Lord, I pray for those here who don't currently have children in their home, but might we have a vision for the young around us, for one another, and have this same desire that we have for our own children, might we have for each other. And so I pray that you would use this time in your word to be a help to us, whatever our particular place in life, whatever the particular dynamics of our family. And help us to embrace the biblical purpose for parenting, for discipleship, really. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wonder, some of you are really systematic in your setting of goals and objectives for, you know, not only your work, but a lot of different aspects of life. Some of us are not as systematic about it. I mean, we kind of have ideas, but maybe not as systematic about it. But I wonder if, as a parent, if you are a parent, have you ever actually sat down and recorded or at least thought through your aspirations for your children? You know, what are your desires for them? What are you trying to help them with? What's kind of the outcome of their life and the unfolding of their life? You know, what's your desire? What are your aspirations about that? And then once you do that, you know, then you kind of take stock of, now let's look at how life is lived and see, does it kind of line up with that? But, you know, if you asked a bunch of people what their aspirations might be in the day in which we live, there are a lot of parents whose primary aspiration for their children is that they would be a good athlete, that they'd be a great, you know, volleyball player or soccer player or basketball player or football player. And you know, our Sundays are filled with all these people that parents even emulate sometimes more than the children in just this ambition about athletics. Some really have aspirations for their children to be great musicians, be that vocal, be that instrumental, whatever it might be. Maybe you aspire to have your child be very successful in terms of their academic achievements. People have a lot of ambitions for their children in terms of college opportunities. They want to see their children develop their gifts and their abilities to the fullest extent. Most parents have certain kind of vocational and professional aspirations for their children, sometimes too much so, in that they want their children to become who they wish they were, or who they want to be, or who they think they are, rather than allowing God to direct the direction of that child's life. A lot of parents would say that they want their children to be all that they can be. Some of you will remember that expression. If I were to sing it to you, I would plague you with that thought running through your mind forever. I listened. That was the old Army recruiting ads, starting in 1980 for about 20 years. Be all that you can be, all right? You know, you can do that in the Army, however it went, okay? So, in a sense, the idea was, you know, develop to your fullest potential. And so as parents, we typically want to see that in our children. Maybe you're burdened for their financial security, for their ability to earn a good living, to provide for their families. Hopefully you want your children to be honorable, ethical citizens. You want them to be equipped to make good choices in life, to be thoughtful, to think things through, to reason in a sound way. You know, probably you want your children to be contributing members of society. Now, you know, I've been spouting these off and you've just been kind of taking them in. But the fact is, every one of those items that I have mentioned so far, we could go to a person who knows nothing of God, who would maybe self-describe themselves as an atheist, and ask them, what do you want for your children? And they could very well list all those very same things that I just mentioned. And my point isn't that any of those things are necessarily bad. Okay, you know, taking all things in balance, you know, there's nothing that's bad there. There's nothing that is wrong there. And there's a degree to which many of those things, maybe most of those things, we do appropriately have a hope and aspiration that those things would become true in our children's lives. But folks, here's the point. That's not enough, one. And if that's all it is, we really are missing the mark in terms of what God calls us as parents to desire for our children. It's not good enough to simply raise good, honest, contributing members of society. Admittedly, that's better than crooked, demented, whatever. Okay, but that's not enough. If you're a believer, that is not enough. One of my former youth pastors years ago used to talk about in parent meetings or whatever, you know, our goal is not simply to raise good kids. Our goal is to see our children become godly kids, godly Christians, godly people. And so really, we've got to recognize that there are many good and noble and appropriate things that we desire for our children, and we understandably help them along those ways. But the top of the heap, that's what we're talking about tonight. The preeminent thing. Our desires for our children ought to go way deeper than just their practical success in society, even in the most honorable, beneficial way. Our aspiration should be for our children to know, love, and serve God wholeheartedly. To know, love, and serve God wholeheartedly. Now, some of you might write that down. I'm not saying that's the be-all and end-all statement. That's, you know, just a kind of a thought in my heart. But that does kind of capture the essence of it. Is your desire for your children that they would know God, that they would love God, that they would serve God wholeheartedly? You know, whether they're 4 or whether they're 40, right? Throughout their lives, that would be the pathway that they are on to know, to love, and to serve God wholeheartedly. And I want to suggest that our text provides a foundation for that kind of a goal. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, one of the challenges with the Proverbs is we don't have a whole lot of context, right? I mean, it's just kind of like one statement and then seemingly disconnected. I mean, I read the verse before it. It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Now, I could make a connection to that with train up a child in the way he should go, but really I don't think the intention there is that somehow or other informs our understanding of verse 6. And the verse after it says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And if you try to connect that with verse 6, you might say, well, I want my children to be rich, right? So they're not a servant to the lender. And that's not the point. So really, we just have this little verse, this little pithy statement, and we've got to try and draw really from the context of the Scripture of what is God suggesting there? What is He challenging us to do? Sometimes people will say, well, is that a promise? Well, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but in some measure, I suppose it is. It's surely a command. Train up your child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Certainly, it is a proverb, right? A concise statement of God's wisdom. But, you know, whatever and what all this text is, it's perhaps the most frequently used passage when it comes to the Bible's teaching on the spiritual development of children. Now, there are plenty of other passages. There's Deuteronomy 6, and there's the Ephesians passage that we referenced, and there's other things just sown throughout the Scripture. So, I mean, this is not the single point. But it is one when we think about, you know, what's our purpose with our children? It is to train them up in the way that they should go, believing that then, through the advancing years, they will not depart from it. And so what I want to do is just spend a little time first examining the words used in this verse and the point of the verse. And, you know, some of the words, some of the expressions. And it's just short. But let's start out. It just begins by saying train up. Okay? And those two words translate a single Hebrew word. And that's a word that's related to the concept of dedication, of setting something or someone apart. But the foundational meaning of the word has the idea of inaugurating, of beginning or initiating something. Someone has suggested that a good word to use in translating this Hebrew word, especially in this context, is stimulate. You know, stimulation elicits a response, and different stimuli yield different responses. And the idea is that we are to initiate some things in our children's lives, to stimulate some things along the matter of the way that they should go, with the idea that initiation, that inauguration, that stimulation, that training is going to be something that goes with them, that sets a certain direction, that helps them in the long haul. Someone has described this word as creating a taste or desire, and I kind of like that way of thinking about it. You know, touching the palate, we might say. In the culinary world, your palate refers to your appreciation for taste and flavor, and people that have a good palate, right, have particularly discerning and discriminating ability to assess how good something is. And the first part of this verse, we might say, has the idea of helping our children develop a taste for the things of God. A desire for God, a desire to know God. And so the passage says, train up, then it's a child. And the word for child is used throughout the Old Testament to refer to both younger and older children. And in fact, someone has suggested that, you know, the translation child tends to make us think in terms of really small, and that is certainly a part of it. But probably the more common use of the word would be the young lads. You remember the guys that gave Elisha a hard time, the young lads? That's the word right here. But the point of it is, I think, is that as parents, we have this responsibility to touch the palate of our children, if you will, to stimulate them, to train them, to put them on a path, and that responsibility isn't just in those formative first few years or whatever, it is throughout that time that they are under our care. From a little infant to an older child passing on into adulthood. But there is that developmental process, and throughout it, we are to continue seeking to train them in the way that they should go. And eventually there comes that time when they are, you know, released from being under our immediate supervision, our immediate care, our immediate protection, and the idea is that they're going to continue on that path. Brings us to the phrase, in the way he should go. So train up a child in the way he should go. Now, this expression is generally understood as referring to a right moral direction, if you will. to understanding God's desires, and involves then structuring our homes to promote a life consistent with those desires. And that means, folks, that in training our children, that involves instruction, that involves appeals, that involves exhortations, that involves incentives, it involves boundaries, it involves correction, it involves a lot of love and a lot of support, but all of it focused in a particular direction. And not haphazardly so, because that the emphasis of this verse, okay, is about this direction where we want them to go. As we train that child, as we seek to inculcate a desire in their hearts, it's always with a purposeful direction to it. Hence the purpose for our parenting, right? We do need to step back sometimes and do so systematically and do so thoughtfully and with intention, not just kind of, figure it out as we go along. Thinking about what does God want me to do to help my children to cultivate this taste for Him, this desire for Him? One of the more familiar passages in the Psalms about parenting. Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." And then it says this, interesting expression, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth." And, you know, God often speaks to us in metaphors. And it's not just to be colorful, vivid language, though that helps capture our interest, right? But we are to kind of take away some things from the metaphor. And if you think about, okay, arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. So if you're an archer, let's say you're a competitive archer. Let's say if you're in the Olympics, okay? If the target is over there, you're not going to do very well if you're aiming over here, right? There's got to be a target, and frankly, a reasonably precise one. And you're going to try and prepare that arrow so it's straight, so it's balanced, so it's going to fly well. But at the end of the day, you know, when it says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, the point is more on the direction you are seeking to let those arrows fly. And that's what children of the youth are. And when the Scripture says to train up a child in the way that he should go, that the emphasis is on that way that he should go, that direction. And so, folks, if your direction is all caught up in all those things I mentioned at the beginning that are fine things, but the focal point, the center point, the point of emphasis in that direction isn't knowing, loving, and serving God, then it's kind of like aiming an arrow over here and wondering why it doesn't end up over there. And our calling as parents is to be just continually seeking to point our children in that right direction, aiming them, directing them. So here's the essence of our text. We need to train our children with a particular direction in mind, with a Godward direction. You know, Abraham sought to do that. We were studying Abraham. We see him with his high points, and like this morning, his low points, his struggles and his victories. But here's something that God says about Abraham in chapter 18. And we'll get to this on Sunday mornings here, a month or so down the road. But in Genesis 18:19, God Himself says this about Abraham. He says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And we'll talk about this more in due course, but the idea there is God is saying, you know what? I know that Abraham is pointing his family in the right direction. He's going to command them rightly. He's going to direct them rightly. Now, we look at the descendants of Abraham, and some of them were successful, you know, spiritually speaking, some of them not so much. But the point, the responsibility that fell to Abraham is the direction you're pointing them. Folks, as parents, that's what falls to us. What direction are you pointing your children? What direction do your children think is most important to you? What aspect of living life do they see as, you know, when there's a seeming conflict, what has to be the priority? What is important? What's your purpose in parenting? If it's only for success on the worldly plane, that is not enough. Our purpose has to be first and foremost to help our children come to know, love, and serve God wholeheartedly. And yes, there are practical implications of that that affect all these other things about being honorable and being trustworthy and diligence and working hard. All of those are important things that we should help our children with. But it can't just be that. That is not enough. Our purpose as Christian parents is to train our children to know, love, and serve Christ wholeheartedly. Now, let me share with you another nuance to that meaning of that expression in the way that he should go. Okay, I've just described to you the way that I think is the primary point of it. But someone has suggested that the phrase in the way he should go is more accurately rendered according to his own way. Now, by that, they aren't saying, each man goes his own way. You know, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. It's not talking about that. But what they're saying is that, every child is unique. They're unique in their personality, in their temperament, in their abilities, in their gifts, in their inclinations, and parenting is not formulaic. We take that child, and the target is the same, but the things that we do to kind of get on the path to that target vary. They vary based on the child's age. They based on the child's temperament, based on the particular situation in life. And so, is that necessarily inherent in this verse or not? I don't know, but that's a good principle. It's an appropriate thought. What matters is the destination, if you will. And obviously, I'm not saying the end justifies the means, okay? So I'm not contradicting my message this morning, okay? But what I'm saying is, sometimes we adjust things within biblical boundaries. We have different things that we have to emphasize, different things that we have to focus on to help our children stay pointed, aimed in the right direction. Because that's the heart of it. Train up your children in the way that they should go, showing them that way, pointing them in that way, demonstrating to them that way, encouraging them along that way, instructing them so they are equipped to go that way. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, what I found is all too often, parents who really have a desire to see their children walk with God, what they really want is a formula, right? 12 steps to the perfect child. And if I do all 12, then I can be confident, absolutely guaranteed, that they're going to turn out to be exactly my model of what a God-fearing child is. And that's a problem. And a lot of times when people will ask me about, the question that I alluded to earlier, is Proverbs 22, verse 6, a promise, or what they might say is just a proverb? Well, proverbs aren't just. I mean, that's something in and of itself. But is this a promise? And what they mean when they ask that is, is this a guarantee? That if I parent my children right, they're never going to stray. Is it a promise? Is it a guarantee? Maybe you have wondered that. And thinking about that and examining the scripture, here's my conclusion. Sometimes I'll ask the person, just as by sake of illustration, is, so what's the bar for parenting your children right? I mean, if you want it to be a promise, then what's the standard of train up a child in the way that he should go? Because I'm here to tell you, folks, there are no perfect parents. If you think you're one, write your book, but don't worry about the chapter on humility, okay? Because there just aren't perfect parents. All of us are going to struggle to some degree. So if the perfect outcome is predicated on being a perfect parent, then frankly it doesn't matter much if it's a promise of that sort or not, because nobody measures up. And that's always the question you got to say. But I would suggest that there is a sense in which this is a promise. And let me help you understand the aspects of it that I see as a promise. Okay, God's point in this verse is not to riddle us with fear or guilt. If you've got young children, the point of this verse is not to help you have you thinking, oh no, I hope I've done it right. I hope I've done enough so that I get the promise. Oh, what if I? man, I blew that yesterday. I got to correct that. I got to fix that because I got to make sure that, you know, I reach this level so that I can have this promise that everything's going to be okay. That's not God's point in Proverbs 22:6. And, you know, maybe some of you have children and, you know, your children are struggling or whatever. And the point isn't to have you think, oh my, I must not have parented well enough, okay? Now, there's a place for us letting God, you know, convict us and direct us, but that's a separate thing. The point of this verse isn't to have us think that it is my responsibility to produce results. We all ought to aspire to be more biblical parents, okay? And to handle things properly and to live things out properly. Absolutely, we ought to do that. So I'm not in any way minimizing that. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that this verse isn't there to be a chain around your neck to have you live in fear or guilt. That's not the way God does business. But there is a promise to it. And I'll suggest it like this. You know, our Father in heaven is, as Deuteronomy 6:15 tells us, He is a jealous God, okay? And that's the good kind of jealousy. That's not envy. That's not the mean-spirited kind of jealousy. That's the idea of, you know what? He loves those who are His own. He's protective of them. He wants to keep them close to Himself. And as we reflect on God's character, on His goodness, on His faithfulness, on His love for us, we can count on Him to take everything that we invest in our children and keep bringing it into their heart and bringing it into their minds and trying to, you know, encourage them in the way that He will do. And He won't constrain their will, but He will seek to shape them and disciple them and use that which we invest to that end. And we can be sure that every attempt that we invest in pointing our children in the right direction, that's not lost on God, and it's frankly not lost on our children. Because if we seek to train them up in the way that they should go, if we're seeking to point them in that right direction, in that direction of knowing God and loving God and serving Him wholeheartedly, to all the different aspects that are involved in parenting that we are doing that are seeking to draw them in that direction, God promises us when they're old, they won't lose that. They'll not depart from it, the text says. And so we have this all-wise, all-powerful God, and He promises that He is our co-discipler. And I would suggest, frankly, He is the discipler. But He wants to work through us. And He wants to use us. And He wants to speak through us. So we bear some responsibility there, but ultimately God is at work, and we can be sure, we can take it as a promise that those efforts are not in vain, that they are affecting that child. You know, the prodigal child, son, was gone for a while, but he did come back. He didn't forget. Remember when he came to himself, you know, and he's thinking, boy, I'm thinking back to my father's house. You know, that's the kind of thing God is promising. No matter what happens, you know, if it seems that the child never deviates, if it seems that they're struggling a little bit, those things that you have sought to plant in your child's heart about loving God, knowing God, walking with God, serving God, God will keep those. God will use those, every one of them. So when it comes to training our children in the way that they should go, while responsible parents want to disciple their children responsibly, we can rest secure that it's not just our parenting that is involved. We don't have to be fearful. We ought to be serious-minded. We ought to, you know, take whatever steps we need. We don't have to be fearful. Because we know that God, the Holy Spirit, is shaping your child's heart as you teach him or her the lessons of the Lord. You know, so I would suggest for some of us, you know, we can loosen our grip a little bit. Now, I don't mean by that be lenient. But we can stop with the white-knuckled, oh no, you know, what's going to happen? You know, listen, I can trust God. In good conscience, I want to do whatever God shows me to do, the best I know to do it in His power and His strength and by His grace. But, you know, I don't have to be fearful of, you know, but what if I blow it? I'm trusting Him. I'm depending upon Him. And so in that sense, I can let go just a little bit of that sense that it all depends on me. We ought to be responsible. But it surely doesn't all depend on me. You know, folks, if the development of your children depends just on you or on me, then we are in a sad state of affairs. Because left to ourselves, we do and will fail to one degree or another. But the thing is, even as we are seeking to inculcate a desire for God in our child's lives, the Holy Spirit's doing the same thing, but He's doing so perfectly. And so there's going to be those days when you mess up, when you make some bad choices, when you model some less than biblical behavior and attitudes. You'll have some rough days. There'll be days when you just don't feel like teaching your children about Jesus because it's hard and it's awkward, and sometimes you're struggling with to even know where things are at in your own life. You're just trying to understand your relationship with Jesus for yourself. But at each moment as you come back and you seek to take the Word of God and challenge your children and instruct them and inspire them and encourage them and exhort them, you can be sure that God is using that. As you seek to point them in the right direction, as you seek to train them up in the way that they should go, God is using that. He's cementing it into their souls. He is seeking to draw them to Himself. He's taking those very words that you're speaking and those structured elements of life that you're seeking to put in place, and He is using that to kind of nudge that child in exactly the direction you're trying to lay out. So here's the important thing, folks. What's the direction you're on? It's one. And two is, then, are you willing to, as you seek to encourage your children on the direction, are you willing to trust God and not bear that burden entirely on yourself? Folks, we can take the pressure off of ourselves to produce a child that turns out a certain way because we serve a God of grace and love and power. And I want to suggest this, that, perhaps the most important thing a Christian parent can do is chase after God Himself or herself. We work on all of these different things in structuring our children's lives and doing good and noble and proper things. But yet sometimes in the doing of that, we kind of lose sight of our own relationship with the Lord. And our children see things, and they learn things, and they model things by what they observe in our lives. And so, if you know and love and have a passion to serve Christ, wholeheartedly, let me tell you, your kids see that. It spills over. It rubs off on them. And that, as much as anything, and again, that's not to minimize other things that we rightly do as parents. But that is such an important thing. Down the road here, we'll spend some time in Proverbs 23:26, where the writer says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Okay? Now we're feeling kind of sober here, so we'll just lighten this up a little bit. But I read this story about a harried housewife, Christian lady, and she had spent much time that day preparing dinner for the company. And she had instructed her four-year-old daughter on many things to make sure that she was a proper and good example, had a good testimony with their guests, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And so they sat down to eat. And she turns to her daughter and asks her if she would say the blessing. And the little girl's a little fearful, a little intimidated, and she says, "Mom, I don't know what to say." And the mom says, "Well, just pray like you've heard me pray." And the little girl says, "Dear Lord, why did we invite these people for supper tonight?" But, all of those things that we do to try and kind of put things together in our children's lives can be entirely undone by our own walk with the Lord. And so, folks, that's my appeal for us tonight. The seeds of spirituality that you're seeking to plant in your children's lives today, they will take root. God will use those things. They will come to fruition, okay? Now, again, children have to make their own choices. Sometimes they make great ones and sometimes not so great ones. And they're accountable to God for that. And depending upon their age, we're accountable to help them and deal with, where those things go. But at the end of the day, we just keep pointing them in the right direction. Whatever that entails, based on who they are, what their age is, what the circumstances, we just keep pointing them in the right direction. And we keep following that direction ourselves. And in that sense, we have a promise here that that will not be wasted investment in those lives. That if we seek to train our children in the way that they should go, you know, send them off as arrows in the right direction, God promises us when they're old, they'll not depart from that. A real-life example of that, here back in February, we had a funeral here for Pauline Gross. Some of you remember Pauline. She was older, had been suffering with a lot of things for a while, but still a part of our church. And whenever her health allowed, she was here. And one of her sons stood right here, gave a testimony during that funeral, and basically said, "I am living evidence of Proverbs 22:6." And he described his home life growing up and his mom's faithfulness in trying to put him on the right path and deal with issues in his life and praying for him and being burdened for him. And he talked about how there was a period of time in his life when he went and did his own thing, went off in an entirely different direction. But you know what? God used those things that had been planted in his soul as a young lad. And the day came when God brought him back to himself. And you know, he's today a guy with a passion for the things of God, with a vibrant heart for God. And he testified that, you know what? In some fashion, I mean, obviously that's God's work, but it was God taking those things that his mom had sought to invest in him as a young person, and bringing to reality Proverbs 22:6, that those things weren't lost. You know, he might have brushed them aside for a time, but it was still there. He still knew about God. He still knew what God's desires were for his life. And God, the Holy Spirit, in time, brought him right back down that path that his mom had sought to put him on. So folks, don't lose heart. Don't be fearful. Don't be guilty. But just, you know, wherever things are at in your life right now, whoever you are, if children you're raising, you know, older children you're trying to give advice and counsel to, people that you're trying to disciple and encourage in their walk with the Lord, let's recognize how vitally important it is that we are seeking to just aim them in the right direction. It's less about controlling actions, though there's a place for that, okay? But it's less about that than it is about just keeping them pointed in a particular direction and following that direction ourselves. I've often said, you know, kids have a real nose for hypocrisy. And if mom and dad are saying, go this way, and they're going this way, you know, and they're just kind of going through the motions to go this way, but really not. The kids see that. And there is a lot that gets undermined. So really the issue is, you know, point our kids in the right way. Go that way ourselves. And believe that God, the Holy Spirit, the master discipler, is taking all those things that we're investing and using them in our children's lives to conform them to His image, to draw them to Himself, to give them a heart to know, to love, to serve God wholeheartedly. That, folks, is our purpose in parenting. Father, we are thankful.